ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 5 नारद मुनि कर्स्ड बाय प्रजापति दक्ष टेक्स्ट 23। नाशं निशम्य पुत्राणां नारद शीला शालिनां अन्नातप्यत कः सोचन सुप्रजष्टं शुचां पदं। नाशं निशम्म पुत्राणां नारदाच्छीलशालिनां अन्नतप्यत कस्वोचन सुप्रजस्त्वं शुचां पदम्। नाशं निशम्म पुत्राणां नारदाच्छीलशालिनां अन्ततप्यतकाशोचान् सुप्रजस्तं शुचां पदम्। नाशं निशम्म पुत्राणां नारदाच्छीलशालिनां अन्नतप्यतक्वासोचन् सुप्रजस्तं शुचां पदम्। Mataji's Nasham, the loss. Nishamya, hearing of. Putranam, of his sons. Naradat, from Narada. Shilashalinam, who were the best of well-behaved persons. Annatapyata, suffered. Kah, Prajapati Daksha. Shochan, lamenting, suprajastvam, having 10,000 well-behaved sons, shucham, of lamentation, padam, position. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Harjashas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were very well-behaved, cultured sons. But unfortunately, because of the instructions of Narad Muni, they deviated from the order of their father. When Daksha heard this news, which was brought to him by Narad Muni, he began to lament. Although he was the father of such good sons, he had lost them all. Certainly, this was lamentable. Please repeat after me. The Harjashas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were very well behaved, cultured sons. But unfortunately, because of the instructions of Narad Muni, they deviated from the order of their father. When Daksha heard this news, which was brought to him by Narad Muni, he began to lament. Although he was the father of such good sons, he had lost them all. Certainly this was lamentable. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, the Harjashas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were certainly well-behaved, learned and advanced. And in accordance with the order of their father, they went to perform austerities to beget good sons for their family. But Narad Muni took advantage of their good behavior and culture to properly direct them not to be involved with the materialist world, but to use their culture and knowledge to end their material affairs. The Harjashas abided by the orders of Narad Muni, but when the news of this was brought to Prajapati Daksha, the Prajapati, instead of being happy with the action of Narad Muni, was extremely sorrowful. Similarly, we are trying to bring as many young men as possible to the Krishna consciousness movement for their ultimate benefit. But the parents of the young men joining the movement, being very sorry, are lamenting and making counter-propaganda. Of course, Prajapati Daksha did not make propaganda against Narad Muni, but later, as we shall see, Daksha cursed Narad Muni for his benevolent activities. This is the way of materialistic life. A materialistic father and mother want to engage their sons in begetting children, striving for improved economic conditions and rotting in materialistic life. They are not unhappy when their children become spoiled, useless citizens, but they lament when they join the Krishna consciousness movement to achieve the ultimate goal of life. The animosity between parents and the Krishna consciousness movement has existed since time immemorial. Even Narad Muni was condemned, not to speak of others. Nevertheless, Narad Muni never gives up his mission. To deliver as many fallen souls as possible, he continues playing his musical instrument and vibrating the transcendental sound, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in this material nature, parents naturally want I won't say naturally, but generally want their children to remain in the family and get involved in family affairs, family business. And the most important family business is to produce more children, to increase the glory of the family. But they don't realize that the real glory of the family actually lies when a son becomes a devotee of Krishna. This culture actually existed in India. Like, there was a custom which was actually followed by the Sikhs, by the Hindus in Punjab actually. Like, they offer, every family used to offer one son to become a Sikh. Like, Sikhs are the warriors who are fighting against the Muslims and to protect the Dharma, Hindu Dharma. And they supported that cause, that for the sake of Dharma, one son should be offered. And also, it was considered that when one son became, or sons became a devotee, it was considered to be very honorable, very reputable. I remember like when I was in school, one of our teachers became a sadhu. He joined Ramakrishna Mission. And then after some time he came back home. And his family was very upset that they considered it was a disgrace. He became a sadhu, and after becoming a sadhu he came back home. So that culture existed in India, even in the recent past. Like, they considered that, and I remember his father was very proud. He used to tell people, my son became a sadhu. My son became a sadhu. And therefore, when he came back, he was very, very upset. That after becoming a sadhu, actually when people take to spiritual life in India, they think that he has become a sannyasi. It's something like joining an ashram is something like becoming a sannyasi. And so for a sannyasi to go back to household life is very disgraceful. It considers to be eating one's own vomit. Bantasi. When a sannyasi goes back to his household life, it is considered to be like he vomited something out, and then how disgusting it is. Yeah, eating vomit. Oh my God. So that is how disgusting it is when one gives up family life, household life, and then, after taking sannyas or after taking spiritual life, goes back to the materialistic way of life. So, but generally parents are attached and they want, this attachment is natural in a way, because it's a loss. Jai Shri Shri Prahlad Narsingadev ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father became upset. And mother also, Sachimata also. Although they were so exalted, but when Vishwarup became a sannyasi, they became very upset. Sachimata harbored some ill feelings towards Advaita Acharya. That is, because of him, My son became a sannyasi. Because Vishwarup used to go to the house of Advaita Acharya, where they used to have discussions on spiritual topics. And so she thought that it's because of Advaita Acharya's influence that the son became a sannyasi. And later on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that that was a Vaishnava aparad on part of his mother. And he asked her to beg forgiveness. So you can see even exalted personalities like Jagannath Mishra. Yeah, Jagannath Mishra's reaction was that he felt that because Vishwarup was so scholarly, he was studying so many scriptures that he lost interest in materialistic way of life, family life. And so he stopped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from going to the school. Don't go. No need for education. Let him stay at home. And so that is how parents generally feel. Although so exalted, the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is feeling in this way. Daksha also is a very, very exalted personality, naturally. He is the son of Brahma, so we can well imagine. And although, because we saw time and time again, due to his materialistic mentality, his mentality was not very pure. And he committed offenses. Committed offense to Lord Shiva. And so here also we can see Daksha committing another offense. Narad Muni, Daksha tolerated the first loss, 10,000 sons, Aryakshas. So then he produced another 1,000 sons, Shabalashas. And same thing happened to them. Narad Muni told them, why get entangled in this materialistic life? It's a waste of time. Now you got this very wonderful opportunity. Take advantage of this opportunity and become Krishna conscious. They also acted according to Narad Muni's advice. But this time, Daksha couldn't tolerate that. He was so upset that he cursed Narad Muni. Although Narad Muni is his younger brother, ultimately it's all happening in the family also. Daksha is a son of Brahma. And so in this way we can see like how living entities due to material attachment lose their proper thinking and act in such a way. So that is Daksha's reaction, and he cursed Narad Muni. And this purport is quite relevant actually, because Prabhupada was feeling a similar kind of a problem in America at that time. At that time, many parents actually took legal action against our movement. And American government supported that. And not only that, they took legal action. They actually hired gundas to kidnap the devotees, their children. And it was a very big case at that time. It was called deprogramming. Deprogramming. They were deprogramming the devotees. The thing was, their way of presenting it was that ISKCON is brainwashing these young boys and girls. And so they wanted to clean their or deprogram them. They have been programmed like a robot becomes or computer becomes programmed. They have become wrongly programmed. So now they have to deprogram. And they did some heinous activities also. They forcibly taken. Actually, what happened, there was a person called, anyway, I'm forgetting his name. Not a name to remember also. Not an important name. So he was a criminal. He had many court cases against him. He was a gangster. He had his gang of gundas. And so he started this thing that they would get their rich people, rich parents wanted to have their children back, and they proposed that we will do it. Give us money. And they took a lot of money, $100,000. $100,000 is a lot of money. And those days it was like almost like $1 million of today. So they used to take that money and they would kidnap the boys and girls, whose parents have paid the money. And they would take them to a place where they would subject them all kinds of torture. Like one thing they would do is sleep deprivation. They wouldn't let them sleep. They would not let them eat. And in this way they would torture them. And so that eventually they would give up Krishna consciousness. And the parents would support them. Parents would go and also support them. And one boy who ran away, tried to run away. And while running away, his mother came and tried to stop him, and he pushed his mother. And it became a big news at that time that this Hare Krishna is beating his mother. And this is how they were doing all kinds of false propaganda to discredit Krishna consciousness movement and take the devotees away. And but many devotees, although they were deprogrammed, ultimately they came back. One boy, he was deprogrammed. He went back to the family, and then one day he saw a devotee distributing books. So he said, he went to a devotee and he said, you know, I was a devotee. He told his whole story and he said, I should be doing this also. I should be distributing books. And he came back. Now that $100,000 went down the drain. So that was the time when Prabhupada actually wrote this purport, that not only Daksha, even the parents, they don't realize that what they are doing, what their children are doing, is for their ultimate benefit. Why in India people felt so happy when somebody became a devotee of Krishna or became a sannyasi? Because they knew that when somebody becomes a devotee of Krishna, then 10 generations before and 10 generations after become delivered. So just one person will benefit the whole family line. So that is the real understanding. That a son joining the Krishna consciousness movement is going to give them, the entire family, such an enormous benefit. Like if they stayed in the family, they could have taken care of the parents or other family members only as long as they were here. But when somebody becomes a devotee, then he can benefit them even after their death, in the next life. So that understanding should be there. And that is what we have to make parents understand. In a similar note, like when I joined ISKCON, my father also became a little upset. So I just, as you all know, like I just went to visit Mayapur and I ended up joining. So he didn't actually know that I joined the movement. He thought that I just went. And those days I was just going to different ashrams, staying there, spending time. For months I would go away. So he thought, most really it's another such occasion. But then I had to go back to Calcutta, to the house one day, Calcutta. And when he saw me shaved up, wearing dhoti, kurta, he was quite shocked. And I could see that, although he didn't really say that, but I could see that he was quite upset. And then I started to speak to him, and he told me that he thought that I was just fooling around. Because actually many people in India those days couldn't take ISKCON seriously. Because it was Westerners and, you know, like, so they couldn't take it seriously because they didn't see Srila Prabhupada, as I mentioned yesterday also, Prabhupada was not in the forefront, Prabhupada was in the background. And people used to think it's an American thing. And also around that time a movie came out called Hare Krishna Hare Ram. No. There was a song, Dam Maro Dam. Which meant that they were, these Hare Krishna devotees are smoking ganja. Because they were mixing up the hippies with the Hare Krishna movement. Those days the hippies used to come to India and smoke ganja and charas. And they were, one person, one film actor, Devanand, was a famous guy, he actually made this movie. And so that also gave a very bad publicity to ISKCON. So my father also, I think, was carrying the same impression. And he felt that I was doing the wrong thing. But then I spoke to him. And this is what I told him, that look, your other son is taking care of you materially. So let me take care of you. And I told him that your other son is taking care of you in this life. And let me take care of you in your next life. What I am doing, maybe I am not benefiting you now, but you'll get the benefit for that in your next life. And I quoted some verses also. That impressed him very much. So then he realized that what I was doing was the right thing. So The parents have to be informed. Many of the devotees here also had the problem with their parents. Abhacharan is one of them. The parents come, parents feel that the son should go back, get married, and so forth. One other devotee from Bhopal, his parents were from Bhopal. The father was a doctor. He even came to me and said, "Look, I'll join you and let him go back." So people, because of their attachment, actually every parents are attached to their children, and they consider that it's a loss. As it has been pointed out here, nasham. It was that Daksha considered that it was a loss, nasham, loss. When he heard that his sons, all 10,000 sons became Hare Krishna. But the thing is that this is the ultimate goal of life. Whether they understand or not, we should recognize that fact. And we should make them understand that, look, this is the way of life. This is the goal of life. And those who are young, those who are brahmacharis, they should become fixed up in their spiritual life. And those who are parents, they should make it a point that their children become devotees. Not that, okay, I have become a devotee, let my son become. Especially in household life, the parents also do not want I noticed many times, they don't want their children to become full-time devotees. They think that let them become successful in their life. Of course, there are other reasons also for that, because ISKCON situation in the recent past hasn't been very stable, that the parents could confidently direct their children to ISKCON. Actually, sometimes I myself did that with some of my disciples. I got into a conflict with the temple authorities. In the West, I don't want to mention which temple. One of my disciples, he was very much involved in Krishna consciousness when he was in school. And when he finished his school, the consideration was whether he should join the temple. And when he asked me, I told him, no, go to the university and study and preach. While you're studying, you preach. And so he decided to do that. But temple authorities became very upset with me that I didn't allow him to join the temple. But I considered that at that time, that if he joined the temple, on the other hand, let's put it this way, that if he went to the university, he was such a good preacher that he would be able to influence many other students. And Jai Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. He will be able to influence many other students. And that's what he did. Due to his influence, many students became Krishna conscious. And here also we are seeing our young preachers are going to the universities and preaching. And the result is very, very positive, very remarkable. So this is how Krishna consciousness movement is spreading and will continue to spread with the involvement of everyone. The parents should motivate their children. Sometimes our main business is to expand the movement. If going to the university, we can expand the movement, yes, let them go to the university. If by being successful in materialistic life, in their profession, if they can promote Krishna consciousness, let them do that. Not that everybody has to join the temple. And also we keep this option open that when they're young, let them join the temple. At least for some time. At least for 3-4 years, let them, or even 2 years, let them stay in the temple. And then they can decide whether they should continue in the temple as a full-time devotee or they will go to the household life. And sometimes going back, they can benefit even more. Like that reminds me of another boy from Surat, Nitai Prem, the only son of a business family of businessmen. Father is a very successful businessman. So the boy wanted to become a devotee. So he came to the temple. He joined. So his father came pleading to me that please let him go back. I'm my only son. So I told him, okay, go back. And now he is running the business and he is helping our movement so much. He's always there to ready to help, both financially and in other ways. But to get the taste of Krishna consciousness is what is important. Recognizing the importance and the value of this movement, the importance of this movement is important. And from wherever you are, support. And at least come to the... It's like coming to the temple, living in the ashram, gives us a real understanding of this life. Like, I have noticed, those who have lived in the ashram have gone back to their regular life. They lament. They wish that they could come back to the ashram. Those who are even in their bases, like we have our kind of hostel situation where the students are practicing Krishna consciousness while they are studying in the universities and colleges, and after getting the taste of Krishna consciousness, they don't like to, although they are working outside, they don't like to do that. They wish that they could become full-time devotees. And sometimes they come back and say, give up their job and come back. Many of our brahmacharis today here are coming from that background. Gave up their jobs and became full-time devotees. And also another thing I noticed, with once they got the taste of Krishna consciousness, they like to be in a situation where they can be near a temple. They want to be in a situation where they can at least have prasad, vegetarian, because outside it becomes very difficult to get that kind of. So they would take up a less paying job to be in a situation where they can have vegetarian food or association of devotees. So this shows that how genuine this movement is, and how it is affecting different individuals. And I know many devotees, they have given up jobs and very comfortable situations abroad to come back to India. They gave up jobs where they were earning lots of money. They gave up that kind of job just to be in a spiritual situation in India. So this is a sign of a positive movement of this our institution or Krishna consciousness movement. So although apparently there may be some feeling of loss, but we should go beyond that and see the ultimate benefit. Shreyas and prayas, immediate gain and ultimate gain. So these one should be conscious of. If at the cost of some loss, if we are going to get a bigger gain afterwards, then let's go for that. That is real intelligence. And the main thing is that Krishna consciousness has such a taste. We have seen devotees who have left the movement, came back, because they saw that there is no enjoyment. Charvita charvananam, chewing the chewed. They go try to enjoy. I know one devotee, he left and he took some non-devotee food. And he became so sick, he was vomiting all the time. His system could not take that. So this is how Krishna consciousness has its very, very lasting impression and effect on the devotees. And the ultimate consideration is how we are going to live our body. Let's go through our life, whatever it has to offer, and be prepared for the time when we are going to leave our bodies. And at that time we have to remember Krishna. And if we can remember Krishna, then is the perfection of our existence. So by Prabhupada's mercy, we receive such a wonderful benediction. So let's take full advantage of that. Material attachments will be there. I notice, although one becomes a devotee, accepted the process wholeheartedly, but still they remain attached. Mainly attachment to money. That attachment is very difficult to give up. And and that we have to cultivate, like we have to recognize. Ultimately, the ultimate attachment is not only to the money. The ultimate attachment is to the body. And someday we're going to lose everything. We're going to lose your money, we're going to lose your family, we're going to lose our body. So let's be prepared for that. We're going to lose everything. So let's prepare by being detached from everything. And how do we become detached? By offering it to Krishna. This body, yes, I am attached to, everyone is attached to the body. But let's offer our body to Krishna, recognizing that this body is Krishna's body. This body is, the purpose of this body is to serve Krishna. So let's use this body in serving Krishna. use our abilities to promote Krishna consciousness. Use all our facilities to glorify Krishna. And that is the perfection of our life. What we do is not important. Whether we do it for Krishna, that is what is important. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Bibhu Chaitanya Das. Where is Bibhu Chaitanya? Oh, you're sitting there today. Oh, you're translating. Okay. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Question, how do I know that I am impervious to deprogramming? Who is deprogramming you? What deprogramming means? What if?
What if I am like abducted and then in the future, how do I know that I will not be affected by it and become a non-devotee?
That you are being deprogrammed. How do I know that I am impervious to deprogramming? Like, yeah.
Devotees were abducted and they were tortured. They were abducted. And then, even though many of them both came back, but there were some one of the devotees who did not.
Yeah.
So, what I don't think to bring up is one of those two devotees who were affected by the program and they said the right.
Yes, yeah, say it again, I couldn't hear that.
After deprogramming, the whole episode of deprogramming, a lot of devotees came back, as has been mentioned in the book. But there were still a few devotees who did not come back. So what I don't wish to become is one of those who did not come back. So my question is that how do I know, how do I prepare myself to tolerate all the torture so that I can stay a devotee regardless of all?
Yeah, so that's why my question is, like, where is the question of deprogramming here in your case? Who is deprogramming you?
Nobody is definitely not trying to deprogram me, but
the devotees are still at the time. Okay, the simple answer will be, just become Krishna conscious. That's how you become impervious or immune to deprogramming, not affected by deprogramming. By being Krishna conscious. Alright. So once you found this way, found this path, don't give it up. Always remain in Krishna consciousness. A question from Parmeshwari Radhika Dasi from Gurgaon. Oh, now it's called Gurugram. Hare Krishna, Srila Gurudev. One of your lecture, you said Krishna do not interfere in lower modes, so he comes as Lord Shiva, but at the same time he comes in this material world to deliver the jivas. How can we understand this? Thank you for your insignificant servants, Parmeshwari Radhika Devi Dasi. Let me see again. In one of your lectures, you said Krishna does not interfere in lower modes, so he comes as Lord Shiva. But at the same time, he comes in this material world to deliver the jivas. Okay, I got your question. It's not that Krishna, I didn't say Krishna doesn't come to this material nature. What I actually say is, Krishna doesn't directly deal with the material nature. Because material nature is Krishna's separated energy. Because it is Krishna's separated energy, therefore Krishna doesn't directly deal with the material nature. Because if Krishna directly deals with the material nature, then the material nature will become Krishna's internal energy. Separated means separate from Krishna. Therefore, in order to deal with the material nature, Krishna becomes Lord Shiva. And as Lord Shiva, he deals with the material nature. But Krishna's coming to this material nature as his incarnation, Krishna is not getting involved in the material nature directly. Krishna is actually coming to this material nature with his dham, with his abode. So, say, in that respect, we can give an example of the embassy of a country. Say, U.S. embassy in India. Like, when the U.S. ambassador comes to India, he doesn't become Indian. He maintains his identity as an American. And the embassy, although it is a part in Delhi, in India, but it is not India. U.S. embassy is America. So, in a similar way, when Krishna comes to this material or incarnates in this material nature, Krishna doesn't get involved in this material nature. He maintains his spiritual status, spiritual identity, and his spiritual domain. So, Parameshwari, Radhika, I think you got the answer. If not, then you can let me know. So this is from Nityananda Traveling Sankirtan Party.
Our second Sankirtan Basma.
Who is leading that?
Krishna Prabhu and Ajit Chaitanya.
Very good. Dandavat Pranam Guru Maharaj, we are in book distribution in Jabalpur. Kindly bless us so we can distribute more books and can do our sadhana properly. You have all my blessings and best wishes. So this is from servants at Mayapur base, Bhopal. Mayapur base, Bhopal. Bhopal is a Mayapur base? Oh. Who is leading that one? Oh, Premavata. Okay. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, sometimes I feel that students are attracted towards brahmachari life. But due to attachment to their parents or family, they don't become able to decide their ashram or not able to be so determined to move into the ashram. What should they do? Your servants at Mayapur base, Bhopal. Give them a good dose of brahmachari life. So that when they go home, they'll feel so disgusted that they'll come back to the ashram. Thank you, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, bata. Give him the mic. Mic nahi chal raha hai. फिर बताओ पहले से बताओ पहले शुरू से मैं नहीं सुना
जैसे आपने बच्चे और आपके पास में
उनको क्या करना
है?
तो तुम बताओ, तुम्हारा लड़का तो चला गया, अब क्या हो रहा है? चला गया मतलब हमारे पास आ गया। अगर ये होता है तो आ सकते हैं, आ सकते हैं, कोई फंक्शन में जा मिल सकते हैं। हाँ, बच्चा मिल रहा है, आकर मिलते हैं ना कभी कभी। तो उनके पास प्रीच करना, समझाना, ये जो कर रहा है उससे क्या अच्छा भला हो रहा है या बुरा हो रहा है। तुम्हारा कहने का मतलब क्या है? वो समझते नहीं है, वो लोग समझते नहीं है। अगर जो समझेंगे नहीं तो उसके पास जाके बताने का क्या जरूरत है? देखो, ऐसे जैसे लड़का फैमिली छोड़कर चला गया, तो फैमिली को भी शायद वो अपने रिश्तेदारों को छोड़ना पड़ेगा इस स्थिति में, क्योंकि जो लोग अगर नहीं समझते हैं तो क्या करोगे? अगर तुम सोचो, अपने बारे में ही सोचो, तुम इस्कॉन जो कर रहा है वो अच्छा है, वो भला हो रहा है या बुरा हो रहा है? भला हो रहा है, तो तुम तो समझ गए हो कि भला कर रहा है। अगर और कोई नहीं समझते हैं तो क्या करोगे? उसको भी समझना चाहिए कि जो हो रहा है, जो कर रहा है इस्कॉन, सबको कल्याण के लिए कर रहे हैं, सबको भलाई के लिए कर रहे हैं। तो अगर नहीं समझेंगे तो तुम क्या कर सकते हो? तो इसलिए अगर समझते नहीं है और झमेला करता है तो छोड़ना ही अच्छा है उसके साथ संग। देखो, इस्कॉन का परिवार तो मिला है, कितना बड़ा परिवार, इतना बड़ा फैमिली मिल गया है, सारा दुनिया भर ये फैमिली है। तो एक बड़े फैमिली के लिए अगर एक छोटा फैमिली छोड़ना पड़ेगा तो तैयार हो जाओ। अगर फंक्शन में जाने से दिक्कत होता है तो छोड़ दो। क्योंकि मैं जो बोल रहा हूं वो अगर नहीं समझते हैं और तुम अगर ये मान लिया कि जो कर रहे हो वो ठीक है, तो अब बताओ क्या करना चाहिए? मैं तो अब तुमको पूछ रहा हूं, करना है या नहीं, करना चाहिए या नहीं? तो टॉलरेट करो, जस्ट टॉलरेट इट, ठीक है। हरे कृष्णा। Yes.
My question is, an unbearable situation comes with our children, and it's 3 days in the why Krishna made this plan, why Krishna is doing like that. So, next situation, how to responsibility to explain that?
No, I didn't get that. What can, just explain, what kind of unfavorable situation?
Unfavorable situation is
you see, devotee's attitude is when something unfavorable or unpleasant happens, he considers that it is due to his past karma. And when favorable things happen, he gives credit to Krishna by mercy of Krishna. On the other hand, the materialistic way is when something good happens, something favorable happens, one takes the credit for that himself. And when something unpleasant or unfavorable happens, they blame Krishna. Why Krishna did that? But we have to understand that in the material nature, we all are subjected to our past karmic reactions. And when something unfavorable happens, then we should consider that it could have been much worse. But because I have taken shelter of Krishna, it has been overcome with a very little effect of that karmic reaction. You see, in material nature, you know, happiness and distress will come in cycles. There cannot be uninterrupted happiness or even uninterrupted suffering. Pleasure and pain alternate. So Krishna is saying, "Tang stitik shasya bharata," just tolerate that. After all, pleasant or unpleasant situations are simply due to our sense perception. But the sense perceptions are secondary, or sense perceptions are not the real situation. It is happening due to our involvement in the material nature. So just tolerate and remain fixed up in your Krishna consciousness.
Thank you.
Thank you. Last question. Yeah. What's that?
Who is Narad Muni?
Krishna. Narad Muni's worshipable deity is Krishna. Do you have any doubt about that? What? So you have doubt? Narayan, Narayan is showing only in the Hindi movies. When Narad Muni is singing, Prabhupada is saying, Narad Muni is singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Oh, there is another question. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. Unfortunately, most materialistic people consider full-time devotees are parasites. How to approach such people for preaching purpose if they don't respect the sadhus? Yeah, don't waste your time going to the people, those who are not going to listen to you. If they don't have respect for sadhus, then better sadhus don't go to them. There is a saying that sadhus do not go to a place where he is not wanted. So if you are not wanted, don't go there. If they are not going to listen to you, then what's the use of talking to them? Do you preach to a dog? Why don't you preach to a dog? Huh? Oh, dog, bhai. Chant Hare Krishna. You don't say that. Because you know that the dog is not going to understand it. So similarly, you know, some people, if they are not willing to listen or respect, and devotees are parasites, everyone is a parasite. We all are depending upon Krishna. We all are sucking Krishna. So everyone is a parasite. But at least we are devoted parasites wherever you are. They think that because devotees are not working like a dog or a donkey, devotees are parasites. But they don't realize that that's a donkey. Actually, their mentality is a donkey mentality. Ass's mentality. Gardhav. What is a Gardhav? Why a donkey is considered to be most stupid animal? Do you know why donkey is considered to be the most stupid animal? Because all it needs is some grass. But he thinks that if he doesn't carry this big burden, he won't get the grass. Grass is there everywhere. But the donkey, because he's a donkey, he thinks that he'll have to carry the burden of his master, then only the master will give him some grass. So similarly, these people are walking, thinking that, oh, unless I don't lick the boot of my boss, I will starve. Recognize that the biggest boss, the ultimate boss is Krishna, so serve him. Why just take somebody as your lord and master who is simply exploiting you? He is giving you 100 rupees to make 10,000 rupees out of you. And you think he is your biggest well-wisher. So some people have the intelligence like that of an ass. So what can be done? And if an ass barks or brays, should you take it seriously? There is a saying in Hindi. Hati chale bazaar mein, kutta bhukhe hazar. Bhakto ka durbhav nahi, jab ninde sansar. Devotees don't care. And in English also there is an expression, the dogs will bark but the caravan will pass. The caravan is going, dogs are barking. We don't know what caravan is probably. The car is driving, dogs are barking. Does the car stop? Or does the car reply? No. Similarly, saintly people don't care about what people think about them. His concern is how Krishna is thinking about him. That is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.